Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Amen. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we are on part three of this series. If you missed out on any of the previous parts, then I encourage you, they are available online on our Facebook page. The audio is there. And this morning, we're going to get an awesome word. But just to kind of lay a foundation again of what this is all about and what this series has led to, what it was inspired by. Obviously, like I said, we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday today, the outpouring of Jesus' Spirit. And we'll get into a little bit more of what that means for us today. But specifically coming from our series of Arising, setting and having this power to set the captives free, to set at liberty those that are bound. And we looked at this whole series, the previous series, that we are fighting a battle. There's a war to fight. There's a battle to fight. There's a spiritual war taking place. And in order to fight this battle, we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at this whole picture that if the empowering of the Holy Spirit, if His ministry in our lives and through our lives is a vital key for us to be effective in fighting this war, we looked at and we've established this, that the enemy's greatest attack on the body of Christ, the enemy, Satan's biggest attack on the body of Christ, is to bring a lack of understanding about this matter, a lack of understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what happens if there's a lack of understanding about something? We'll disregard that or hardly operate under that. And that is what happened and is happening largely in the body of Christ. There's a disregard or even a scarcity of operating under the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we want to deal with that. And that's why we're looking at this series. And last week specifically, we looked at the fruit-bearing life. And that was awesome. And just one of the keys that I want to draw out from that is that the Holy Spirit's empowering in our lives is empowering us also to obey. And what do I mean by that? Obedience to God and His leading is part of our new nature. It's part of our born-again natures. And maybe if you're struggling with obedience, if you're struggling with obeying and submitting to the power of God and His leading in your life, maybe it's only just one of the reasons is because you haven't renewed your mind to the place of your new nature and who you've been created to be by being born again. And that is really important for us to get to understand. And also as we get to understand the Father heart of God, the more easy it will also become to obey the things of God. Because if you understand someone's nature, if you understand someone's character, it's so much easier to follow them and to follow their instruction and their leading in our lives. And I'm not going to share more on that. You can get that teaching on a fruit-bearing life. And that was on last week's message. This morning, we are looking at awaken to the supernatural within. Awaken to the supernatural within. And hopefully that title in and of itself is already exciting you. Awaken to the supernatural within. And a few questions to think about that I want to just ask you this morning is, how many of you believe in the supernatural? How many of you believe in the supernatural? Think about that. Do you believe in the supernatural? How many of you have experienced the supernatural in your life? And some of you thinking like, I haven't experienced it before. I haven't seen this or I haven't done that. I want to encourage you. If you are born again, you've experienced the supernatural. Because the born again experience is a supernatural thing that happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that anyone who's in Christ is a new creature or new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is a supernatural account that happens with you. Any person born into this life is born with a sinful nature. But when we receive Jesus Christ and we receive His Holy Spirit coming, dwelling inside of us, then our natures have changed. And that's a supernatural account. As Colossians talks about, we've been translated or transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in His Son. So that is supernatural. And there's a lot of other supernatural things that we're going to look at this morning. And I want to encourage you as well. Another thing to take note of is that we are living in a supernatural world. We are living in a supernatural world. What do I mean by that? Let's look at the definition of supernatural quickly. It says a manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. Again, I want to say this. We are living in a supernatural world. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is by definition what supernatural is. The things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. God's word, God spoke the world into existence. In Genesis, we see that God said, let there be light. God created the universe by his word. That is supernatural by definition. So we're living in a supernatural world. And not just that, we have supernatural abilities at our fingertips. That is what we're celebrating today, the day of Pentecost and everything that that means for us in everyday life. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, well, I haven't seen this effect of the supernatural in my life, or I haven't experienced the supernatural working of God in my life. And yes, that sounds all good and dandy, but what does that really mean in everyday life for me? Firstly, like I said, a lot of people haven't discovered this, hasn't seen this, haven't experienced all of this. And there's largely one or two reasons in this that's brought a lack of experience, a lack of understanding these things. The first reason is, maybe you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you haven't received this new life of the supernatural and have opened up your eyes to the supernatural power of God and the spiritual truths that's in this world. And then secondly, maybe you haven't fully come to know these things, a lack of understanding. Hosea 4 verse 6 in God's word says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we want to gain understanding. And John 8 verse 32 also says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What is this truth talking about? This truth specifically is talking about Jesus Christ coming to the world and declaring that I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. Jesus declared this about himself. He came to bring truth. And in his truth, in life in him, there is freedom and life forevermore. Amen. Praise Jesus. So let's look at firstly, on the celebrating of this life of supernatural and awakening this, let's go to the beginning of everything where the supernatural outpouring took place, or where there was the talking of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at restoring the kingdom, restoring the kingdom. What do I mean by that? Let's go to Acts 1 verse 1 to 8. And let's read together the scriptures in the chat box there. And it says, the first account I made, I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. The first account I made, Theopolis. And the first account I made, Theopolis, was a continuous report about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended to heaven. After he had, by the Holy Spirit, given instruction to apostles, special messengers whom he had chosen, to these men, he also showed himself alive after his suffering in Gethsemane and on the cross by a series of many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and talking to them about the king, or the things concerning the kingdom of God. So just to highlight that, think about that quickly. So Jesus appeared over those 40 days after his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. He appeared and he was walking on the earth for 40 days and he was ministering to different people. And accounts have it that he appeared to over 500 people. Okay? And so this account, he says he was ministering to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. So this was his ministry. This was what he was talking about. Verse 4, while being together and eating with them, talking now about his disciples, and he says he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. So he commanded them, he was talking about the kingdom, concerning the kingdom of God, and he told them, go and wait in Jerusalem. He commanded them, highlight that, there was a command. Then he said, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, what the Father had promised. Now this is super significant. Last week we looked at this key of obedience. Okay, so there was a command. There was an instruction to go and wait somewhere. Guess what? Not everyone went to wait in Jerusalem. Not everyone that heard this word went to wait. So not everyone went to obey. And what was the result of that? Not everyone received the blessing of that instruction. This is super significant. We need to realize that a lot of us want to receive the blessing. A lot of us want to walk in the promises, but not a lot of us want to obey the instructions of God. And this is not talking about legalism. This is not talking about law. This is talking about trusting in God, our Heavenly Father, and trusting that He knows best, that His plans for us are far greater than our plans for us. His will for you is so much greater than your will for your life. And that's what Jesus said. But wait for what the Father had promised. We need to get to know the Father heart of God. God is a Father to us, and He wants to father us. And then it says, the promise of which He had said, you have heard me speak, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now. So this was the blessing. This was the promise. This was the benefit and the fruit that would come from going to wait by being obedient to the instruction of Jesus Christ, being empowered and being united with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and He's talking about this waiting for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Okay, take that in note, the context, and we are talking about Jesus ministering about the kingdom of God. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked Him repeatedly. So He's ministering about the kingdom. He's ministering about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And now a few people are coming together and they're asking repeatedly, Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel? Their question is limited to human understanding. There was political kind of gain and there was kingdoms here on earth. And their understanding about kingdoms was very much kings overthrowing kingdoms and reigning. There was a natural reigning that these disciples, they couldn't grasp that there was a supernatural account that Jesus was talking about. The kingdom is so much bigger than what we're experiencing here on earth. There's another kingdom, and God wants the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. And that was what Jesus was preparing them for and setting them up for, that if we want to see the kingdom of heaven manifest here on earth, we need what this text is talking about. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So they're asking Him, are you going to come and overthrow thrones? Are you going to come and kind of dominate and just overthrow Rome and these things and kind of establish another kingdom here on earth? They were talking about power plays. And that is not what Jesus came to do. He didn't come and do a power play in the natural, but He came to do a power play in the supernatural, because guess what? Before anything can manifest in the natural, there needs to be a spiritual manifestation first. And everything that we need, Ephesians talks about that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in spiritual heavenly places. So we've got that. We've got that. Now we need to open our hearts and minds to the spiritual, the supernatural, and bring that here to earth. And we're going to get into that, what that means like. So they're asking this question, and Jesus responds, verse 7. And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. So He's kind of telling them, hey guys, you're missing the point. Like, you're missing the point about timing and things like that. And ultimately, God's timing is perfect. Just trust in Him. Trust in God's timing. But verse 8, He says, but. So He's actually answering their question as well. So they're asking about the kingdom. And He says, but again. So we talked about this already. Verse 4 and 5, empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise. Go and wait in Jerusalem. And then verse 5 again. But you'll receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. This is the kingdom of God, sons and daughters being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and yielding to the power of God. When we start living in this power of God and surrendering and obeying our lives to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'll start seeing more than ever before the kingdom of heaven manifest here on earth. That's super exciting. I don't know why you guys aren't more excited. I'm super excited about that. That's the promise of God. And maybe you're not excited about it because you haven't experienced this. Maybe you haven't seen this. And that is why we're spending time together this morning, celebrating, looking at God's word, looking at His establishing of the kingdom, what that looked like. He said, I'm promising you, go and wait in Jerusalem. Let's carry on in Acts chapter 2. So this is after this promise, Jesus saying, go and wait in Jerusalem. You'll receive this power. And this power is talking about, in the Greek, it's talking about dunamis, where we find the word dynamite from. This power that God has given us, it's not just normal power where you lift a few weights. and you kind of have the world record for a bench press or a deadlift. That's not talking. This is not the power that this is talking about. This is talking about a supernatural infused ability to operate outside of the natural. Are you excited yet? This is God's empowering. And what was this empowering for? Acts 8 or Acts 1 verse 8. So that you can be my witnesses, witnessing of Jesus. And we're going to get into what that again means as well. So Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So there was a day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about. Now today, we're not just celebrating Pentecost on this specific day of the year. We get to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. You can receive today. You don't need to wait for a specific day on a calendar. There was a specific day on a calendar that we're looking at Acts 2 verse 1 now. And now it's a day that we're celebrating once a year, kind of making big of it and just looking at what this means again. But we can do this on everyday basis. Okay, so the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were in one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so first question, who were they? Who were they? They were the people who were obedient to the leading of Jesus. These were the obedient, the people who inclined and heeded to the word of Jesus to go and wait in Jerusalem. This is the obedient, okay? Who was filled? All were filled. All who were present, all who were obedient to that word that went to wait, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Who spoke in other tongues? I'm asking you these questions specifically so you can get an understanding of what this account is meaning to us today. Who spoke with other tongues? All who received. And who was inspiring the utterance? The Holy Spirit was inspiring the utterance. So we're not getting into the topic of speaking in tongues specifically this morning. If you want more information about that and more just scripture and teaching on that, please contact us about that. There's a lot of great teaching on that, what that means for us. But I want to get you to understand that this was a supernatural account. There was a supernatural account here. There was people speaking in other tongues. And if you continue reading this chapter, there were people from different nations speaking in other languages and people understanding them. And there was kind of an amazement about this. This was a supernatural account. This went beyond human reasoning. We need to understand this. This is a supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Now let's look at some of the other things that followed some of these believers that received the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot. The whole book of Acts is full of supernatural accounts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we can't get into everything this morning, but we're going to touch on a few things. But I want us to just remember quickly again. In John 14 verse 12, Jesus' words, he said that you will do the same works as me and even greater works than these. Why did he say that? Why was that possible? Jesus goes on to say that, because I'm going to my Father. What does that mean? What did Jesus say? I need to leave because I'm going to send you another comforter. He was referring to the Holy Spirit. So because of receiving the empowering of the Holy Spirit, like we've seen in Acts 1 and 2 now, because of receiving that Holy Spirit, we can now fulfill and do what Jesus said in John 14 verse 12. You will do the same works as me and even greater works than these, because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. That is super encouraging. But what is the key to this? Like we saw in this in this account of Acts 2, what is the key to the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and working through our lives? What is the key? Obedience, surrender, submission, willingness. If you don't like any of these words, if you're kicking against any of these words, then that is going to be the determined or the deterring factor for you to see the empowering and the operating of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because the Holy Spirit's power, His supernatural dunamis ability, is not going to enforce you and push you to do something that you do not want to do. So a key that you need to start understanding is obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Obedience, a willingness, a submission to His empowering and His moving in your life. If you can't do these things, then the Spirit won't force to operate for you to operate under signs, wonders, and miracles. Then we see, let's look at some of these accounts. Firstly, Peter. We're not going to look at the scripture specifically, but if you know Peter's life, his CV didn't look pretty good up until that point of receiving and empowering the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because one of the great things that Peter was known for before this account was him denying Jesus three times. Denying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, knowing him three times. Peter, imagine that. Imagine that burden on your shoulders and on your heart. You were walking with Jesus, the Son of God. You saw him get crucified. You saw him be buried. And then for 40 days, you experienced his resurrection, walking with him. Imagine like that like burden lying on your heart, having denied one of your best friends and also your leader, your someone that's ministered to you, that's been there for you through thick and thin and just done amazing miracles. And you went to deny him not once, not twice, but three times. I wouldn't want to kind of show my face in any public setting where Jesus or any of his followers would be. But guess what happened to Peter? That wasn't the end of his story. He received the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And he stood up and gave the first sermon ever in the new church, the birth after the day of Pentecost. He gave the first sermon with boldness, with confidence. He stood up before hundreds of people preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is supernatural ability, where his whole nature changed, where he was a coward, just fearing for his life, where he stood up, not caring about his life, knowing, having this conviction that there's a supernatural God that we are serving and co-laboring with. Let's look at another passage of scripture, and I want you guys to open up, and we're going to give a sharing opportunity for this. So Acts 3, verse 1 to 6. And this is an account where a lame man was healed. And so Acts 3, verse 1 to 6. So if anything stands out for you and you'd like to share your thoughts with us from this account and just bless us with it, then please, you can type out your name or you can just raise your hand in the settings. So Acts 3, verse 1 to 6 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer," or being the ninth hour. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried." Now, just to give some context as well, later on we see that this man was over 40 years old. So for 40 years long, he was lame from his mother's womb, okay? And he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, alms is just another word for asking for money, begging for money. Verse 3, "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'" This is super significant. Peter gazed upon him. All of his attention went to this guy. It wasn't just kind of like I acknowledge this guy, but there was a gazing upon him, fastening his eyes upon him and with John. And he said, "Look on us." Obviously, this guy was already looking at them, but what was Peter saying? He's saying, "Look at us." Peter had to say it in such a way that there was something happening. There was an expectancy in this guy. Why do I say that? Let's look at verse 5. "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such shall I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Now, there's a lot in there, and I almost started preaching on this before I gave any of you opportunity to share. So please, if you've got something that stood out for you from this passage already, then please just raise your hand or type out your name in the chat box, and I'd love to give you an opportunity to just share something that the Holy Spirit just pulled out for you or illuminated for you from this passage. I'll give a few moments for that.
Just the last part, verse 6, like, you know, they say they didn't have silver or gold, but what they have, they will give. And we've got the same thing. We've also got this, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So technically, we always have something to give. It doesn't have to be in money, in the form of money, but we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And they realized that and was able to change that man's life for eternity. Which was good, yeah.
That's awesome. Definitely. Nikita, I'll give you an opportunity to share now as well, just to add to what Devin shared. That's super encouraging, because ultimately we can kind of cater for someone's immediate needs and natural needs, and that is awesome, and that is definitely a calling of the Church of God, to take care of people's natural needs as well. But ultimately, like you said now, Devin, if we change people's eternities, that is so much better than just changing their immediate circumstances. And that's super encouraging with what you shared. So Nikita, what did the Holy Spirit minister to you from that passage?
I enjoyed verse 5, where he said, expecting to receive something from them. He had an expectation, and he did receive, not necessarily in the form that he thought it would be, like the alms or the money or whatever it was, but he actually received something, and it was actually better. But it started with the expectation of, I want to receive.
That's good. That's super important. That's why I painted that picture of Peter, encouraged him, like, look on us. And in the way that they engaged with him, there had to be like some different approach or different look on what he was going to receiving. And like you said now, Nikita, verse 5, and he gave heed unto them. He didn't just look on them, but there was this word and this phrase, he gave heed unto them. He gave his full attention. There was like you can see when someone is excited to receive something, when there's an expectancy, like Nikita shared now, there was an expectancy, expecting to receive something from them. The scripture doesn't say that he expected to receive money from them. He expected to receive something from them. So in the way that they ministered to them and kind of engaged with them, he had to realize that something different is in these guys. There's something different coming. And I can just see this expectancy from this guy in verse 16. And then Peter said, silver and gold, like Devin said, now silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Like Devin said, something happened. We're looking at the account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Something happened. These guys were now filled with the Holy Spirit, and they've received the supernatural ability to do what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, the same works as Jesus and greater works than those. And they said, this is what we have. Yes, maybe they've had the natural, maybe they had some money on them, but they took the God to focus on something so much greater than the natural. They went to the supernatural, and they gave them the supernatural power of God for him to be raised and to walk. Let's go on to Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8, just to refer to some more many signs and wonders. In Acts 5, verse 8, you can read the full context there, but I'm just going to jump to verse 7 quickly. And for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. We see this account of Philip also ministering Christ, and then as he was ministering Christ, this is super important for us. The believers weren't ministering signs, wonders, and miracles, guys. We are not called to minister signs, wonders, and miracles. We are called to minister Jesus Christ. We are called to minister the gospel. And then what follows the gospel? Signs, wonders, and miracles. We can't be running around after the supernatural. Yes, Jesus is the supernatural. The Holy Spirit is the supernatural. But we need to understand that we need to put first things first. The gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural of God, is fruit. It's a byproduct of knowing who we are and whose we are. Identity. That we've been given the supernatural power of God inside of us. And as we minister the gospel, as we minister the Jesus Christ unto people, as Philip did in verse 5, he preached Christ unto them. And then there were signs and wonders and miracles following. The purpose of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that quickly. 1 Corinthians 12. What's the purpose again? We saw this in Acts 1 verse 8. There's a purpose behind the gifts. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11, and it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. Super encouraging. No one is singled out or isolated or told you can't receive the power of God. Every believer has got the opportunity to receive the empowering and operate under the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of that? So that all can profit. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit isn't for you to feel better about yourself and to kind of take glory for yourself. It's not your power. It's God's power working in you and through you. We need to understand this because it takes humility to operate under the Holy Spirit's empowering. It takes humility to obey. And if you do not have humility, guess what? The Spirit of God is not going to operate through you. Let that sink in. If you do not have the humility, God's Spirit is not going to operate through you because it's not about you. It says, Scripture says that God resists the proud, but He gives more grace to the humble. We need to understand this. We need to humble ourselves. It's something that we choose. Humility, submission, obeying, all of those things are something we choose. It's not something that we're forced to do, but it's something we choose. And then great power comes with that. So let's carry on. Verse 8, for to one is given by the same Spirit, word of wisdom. Then there's a word of knowledge. Verse 9, the gift of faith, another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, then prophecy, discerning of spirits, and then diverse kinds of tongues, and then also interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all of these works that one and the same self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. This is super encouraging. These are all of the gifts. We've looked at some of the miracles, but there's so much more than the working of miracles. There's healings. There's words of knowledge. We shared a few words of knowledge in the prayer meeting. And super encouraging. This past week, I heard about a few people receiving specific words in specific situations that they needed from friends and from family and from other brothers and sisters in Christ. And also some of them stepping out to share with other people where it's specific words in season that someone needed. As a sign of encouragement that God knows what we are going through. That is the operating and the working of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we can all operate in. And the purpose of this is, and we need to understand this, is for the body of Christ to profit, for people to be blessed, for people to be stirred up. And verse 11, as it says, every man severally as he wills. What does that mean? Does that mean that he wills that some operate under the Spirit and under the gifts and some he doesn't will that? No, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what every person needs in every situation. Sometimes we think this person needs this or this person needs that. No, God's a ministry to us. He wants us to hear from Him what the person needs because God can so much better see exactly what is the root behind this person's situation and problem actually. Because it's not always what seems to be on the surface. So as He wills, is leaning into again and trusting the will and the leading of the Holy Spirit to have Him show you what gift is needed for this specific situation. What gift does this person need me to operate under right now? Is it the gift of healing? Is it the gift of miracles? Is it a word of knowledge? The Holy Spirit will show us. And that's super encouraging. Now, like I said, we regularly hear testimonies of people operating under the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never experienced anything like this. Maybe you've never seen this. Maybe you've only heard of things. I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is willing to work through you and to minister through you mightily through the supernatural. You just need to open up your eyes, open up your heart, and yield, submit, surrender, and obey to His empowering working through you. Just two testimonies that I can recall of. Just of late, and words of knowledge, words of wisdom continually come up, prophetic words in our gatherings, at our life group meetings. And it's really awesome to see those things come to pass, healings and things like that. Just the one that happened of late, someone shared a testimony of someone who had chronic cancer and they got healed from that. And that is awesome. Doctors can't always solve our problems, guys. We need to realize that. That doesn't mean doctors are bad or doctors are evil. I'm just saying that doctors don't have the answers for every problem in this world. But by the leading and the miracle working power of the Spirit of God, there is an answer. A layman walking after 40 years being lame, doctors can't solve that problem. But by God's empowering, there's a solution to that. And then last year, also a testimony of a couple whose baby, the woman was pregnant. A lot of you would have heard this testimony, but for those of you who haven't heard this testimony, I want to encourage you with this. A lady came to our ministry hearing just about our faith in God's word and operating under the power of the Holy Spirit in miracles and healings. And it doesn't make us special, guys. I don't want to say we are special. In a sense, we are special because God thinks we're special. But I'm saying the things, the power that we work in and the testimonies that we're testifying of, we're not testifying of our power and our might. We're testifying of Jesus' might and power. We're testifying of His glory and that He's willing to work through us. We're not perfect people. Ask my wife. I'm not perfect. Okay? But by God's grace, I can still work and operate under the Holy Spirit's empowering because it's about His power, not about my holiness. Some of you needed to hear that. It's about His power. It's not about my holiness. So last year, the couple comes to us, and she was a few weeks or a few months into her pregnancy, and where the doctor's report told her that she needs to consider having an abortion because the baby's brain stopped developing. Now, that is not a good report, guys. That is not good news. In the natural, when doctors and specialists tell you that, hey, like, you need to consider an abortion because your child is basically not going to have a fully developed brain. So we prayed with her the Thursday. The following Monday, she went back to the doctors to just have a checkup and see what's happening. And come that Monday, after our prayer with her and encouraging with the word with God and speaking the word of God over the situation, Monday came and the doctors were like, well, all of a sudden the baby's brain is fully developed. That doesn't happen. In the natural, this does not happen. But by God's empowering and us believing the word of God, us heeding to the word of God and obeying to the empowering of the Holy Spirit, these things happen. And some of you are thinking, yeah, but so-and-so wasn't healed of cancer. Yeah, but Auntie Susie went through this and that happened. I'm not saying we have all of the answers, but consider the fact and the truth that there are countless miracles and manifestations of God's power. Stop focusing on the people who didn't receive healing and being kind of, that is exactly what Satan wants you to get focused on. But this doesn't happen and that didn't happen. Guess what you're going to do when you keep focusing on those things? You'll never trust God for a supernatural miracle. You'll never step out on a supernatural ministry to pray for someone. And then you're never going to see anything else happen. Let's continue focusing on the Word of God and doing what He's called us to do, and we're going to see amazing things happen. So I want to ask you a question, just in coming to a close. What are you waiting for? What is hindering you? We see a account in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, where a guy was ministered to on the baptism of water, and it says that in Acts 8, 36, and as they went down on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? What hinders you from being baptized and receiving the empowering of the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's culture. Maybe it's a more lack of understanding. I'm trusting through this morning's message, there's a hunger that's been stirred in your heart to receive everything that God has provided for us. And maybe you're thinking, but I've already got the Holy Spirit. I'm born again. Great thought. Great comment. Let's go to Acts 19, verse 1 to 2. And I'm just reading this quickly, and it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. So what are disciples? Disciples are believers, followers of Christ. So he's finding these disciples, verse 2. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you've believed? So again, he's emphasizing, since you've believed. These were believers, followers of Jesus Christ. And Paul is asking, or Apollos, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Maybe that's you this morning. And you're saying, like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't know there's a Holy Ghost. I didn't know there's all of these supernatural signs, wonders, and just things that I can operate in. Surprise! These are the things that God has prepared for us to operate under. And you've heard of it now. Now I'm asking you, what hinders you? What's preventing you from receiving? A story just quickly before we look at the last passage of Scripture. Someone recently talked to me about, and we talked about the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and they were in one service, and they received the word of knowledge, and they told me, wow, that was pretty cool. That was awesome. And we're talking about all of these just amazing miracles and just manifestations of the Spirit of God. And they responded by saying, like, that's pretty cool. And I was like, would you like to operate under these same empowerings and these same giftings? And they're like, yeah, like that would be awesome. It's almost like they said, like, I want to be an Avenger. I want to be like Iron Man or Spider-Man. And that's the awesome thing about the power of God. We get to operate under a different power. And everyone this is something for every believer to operate under. We don't need to wait for something. The disciples had to wait for the first outpouring. But today we can receive it in any given time. What are we waiting for? Now, before we receive the empowering, if you haven't received yet, I want to encourage you. After receiving the empowering, there's something to you to continue to do. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant." So we need to continue to grow in an understanding the empowering of the Holy Spirit and yielding to His leading. 2 Timothy 1:6 also says, "That is why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God." And the context there is talking about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to fan into flame. It's a picture of we need to keep the fire going. So when a fire dies out and you just have coals, what happens when you start blowing on that coals? A flame comes to light. And this is what we need to continually do. Fan into flame, not become ignorant of the gifts, not become ignorant and even forget the empowering of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. So what are you waiting for? The table is set. We've got a beautiful buffet. God has prepared everything for you. What are you waiting for? All you need to do is dig in. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Dad, just for this time together and for this anointed word that is filled with so much power. Thank you, Father, for your incorruptible seed that is life-giving. And as it's fallen on good ground right now, there's fruitfulness happening. There's fruit springing up. And roots are digging in deeper. Roots are digging in deeper, Father, in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you, firstly, before you can operate under the power of the Holy Spirit with signs, wonders, miracles taking place, you being able to be effective witness for God's kingdom of our Jesus Christ, before you can do any of that, you need to just receive the life of Jesus. You need to receive the forgiveness of your sins. You need to receive the Holy Spirit inside of you, His life, making your spirit come alive, being united with God in righteousness and in true holiness. Righteousness and holiness isn't something you do. Righteousness and holiness is something you receive by the Spirit of God. And as you receive that as your root, then righteous fruit and holy fruit can be a byproduct. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never received, if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, if you've never yielded to stop trying to do good and just being a good person, no one can ever be good enough in their own works and stand before God one day and say, "Hey, I'm right before you." The only way that you can stand right before God one day is if you receive the Spirit of God, which is righteous, holy, blameless. And any person can do that at any given time because Jesus has made the way. He's made it possible for you to receive. That is how we are born again. If we confess Jesus as Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, that is when we receive our perfect sealed salvation. If you want to receive, Devin is just going to post a prayer in the chat box. You can just pray that prayer from your heart. It's just a simple prayer. It's not the words that save you, but it's faith in Jesus Christ that brings us that salvation. And then I just want to encourage you, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what that means is, as we've looked at this morning, it's you submitting to, being willing to have the Holy Spirit work through your lives. You don't have to first clean up your act or anything like that. If you've received Jesus Christ, you can have His Holy Spirit come alive inside of you. We want to awaken to the supernatural within. That is what we're talking about. If you want to awaken to the supernatural power of God that's inside of you, I want to encourage you to just pray this right now, wherever you are sitting. Jesus, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I yield my life to your empowering. I surrender my life to your empowering. I want to see your Holy Spirit manifest all of these amazing signs, wonders, and miracles through my life as a testimony of your grace, as a testimony of your power and your love for this world. I want to be that effective witness, Father, through your empowering. I receive the empowering right now in Jesus' name. Just pray that from your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for every person who's received your Holy Spirit and that empowering and is yielded and made a conscious decision right now to yield to your empowering. Thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is working in their lives, igniting something inside of them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Father, for every person who's maybe forgotten about the gifting that they've received and they've maybe allowed the gift and the power to become dormant inside of them. Thank you, Father, that there's a reawakening that's happened right now in Jesus' name through the sharing of your word, through this prayer right now. I speak a reawakening of the spiritual gifting inside of people. Thank you, Father, for your supernatural coming alive inside of people as they just decide purposefully to yield, Father, to obey, to submit to your power, Father, because your will for our lives is for our benefit. It's for our blessing. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Dad, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.